early in the week, I was pondering how we live, how we march, and what God's order is. And He's the God of order. And we do a teaching here that is in Ezekiel 1 and 10. Well, actually, the whole first chapter of Ezekiel, so I'm not going to teach. Ezekiel 10 and 14, Revelation 4 and 7, and Numbers, the whole second and third chapter, has to do with the order of the march. And the interesting thing that I ran across was, in Ezekiel 1 and 10, man, which is his your desires, move out front. And often they do, and that's okay. The intellect, or the eagle, always marches last. Ezekiel 10 and 14, the cherub marches first. In Revelations 4 and 7, the lion, which is emotions, march first, but not negative emotions. And Numbers 2 and 3, emotions again march first. So, to me, that's saying not one time in our growth should the intellect override spirit. It is always last, because we need to take the intellect and run it through all those places in us and make sure that's what God wants from us, instead of setting that knowing out front. It has a place. So I thought that was very, very interesting. It goes along with that the carnal mind, just as our mind wants to go, is in enmity against God. And it always takes an egoic preeminence. So it's important that we evaluate what we're hearing, pass it through all the sieves to make sure that it's spirit and not flesh, since that intellect never marches first, because it's the house of judgment, the house of Dan, and it winds up in the end not even being part of us. We don't use it for spiritual things. Okay, Karen, I'm going to ask you to come on. Just keep these till next week or two, next time I teach.
Marching first. And the intellect last. That, so relevant to what I want to be talking about today. I'm going to pass out something, too. It is the peace. Here, I'll keep one for myself. It has to do with what I want to talk about today is the peace offering. And I'll just wait a minute while you get it all. He was shining his light. First thing he did was take his light and shine it on the tabernacle.
All right.
You know, that's light. That's light in us. And, you know, you're all reflecting his light right now. And if you all have a copy of it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What I want to talk about today is really the peace offering, but the in the peace offering, we have the heave offering and the wave offering. And I didn't think of the cross at first, but the wave offering goes out, extends out in a straight line. Actually, it lines up with the altar and goes all the way to the ends of the earth. It's really infinite. That's why I left this open. I left this open here, and I left this open here, because the heave offering you think of heaving up something. The heave offering actually is this heaving up of our emotions, really, are heaving up in us to our heavenlies. This lower consciousness is coming forth. I think of sort of this swirling chakras that are in a wheel, and they kind of DNA too, DNA, chakras, all this combined together as a wheel coming from our lower consciousness down here, which is at the root, and moving on up in a wheel within, we're the wheel. This is the wheel. We are, this outside portion of us is a wheel, and it moves on up to this higher consciousness, this crown. Our heart is truly right here, not here. This is our natural heart. This is our heart. This is the crown. This is where he resides, in our mentalities.
Yes.
He resides in our intelligence, but not not in the intellect. Okay, there's a separation there, because what he's doing in this picture here, if you understand, mind, desires, will, and emotions. First, we have a thought, and that can be a good thought or a bad thought. We divide that in our minds. First, we have a thought, then we desire it to come to pass, and then we will it, and then we emote it through our emotions of the body. So the body is really important here, and what I want to talk about, because we have an outer body and we have an inner body. So we emote. So think of it as a thought. Okay, a thought of murder, perhaps. A thought of murder. Now, we are not responsible for our thoughts per se. A lot of thoughts bombard our heads.
Yes.
Okay, so we're really not responsible for those thoughts. But we are responsible once we take them past the intellect.
Yes.
And we get into the desire realm. Okay, so now I'm desiring to kill. That's a desire, and it builds up within my emotions. It begins emoting a little bit because now I'm desiring. And then I will it to be. I will it. That means it's going to happen. This is going to happen. Think of Cain and Abel. This is going to happen. I've willed it to be, and I emote it through my body. Okay, it's going to happen. And so it does happen.
Yeah.
We can do the same thing with a good thought. We can be the other side, the shadow side, the dual side of that. We can have a good thought towards God, towards peace, towards harmony. We can think that thought. We can desire it to be. We can will it into being, and we can emote it through this energy of going from our lower earthly consciousness, because that's what he's trying to do today, is to bring us from our lower earthly, bogged down to the earth consciousness, and bringing that up to the heavenlies. So in the wave offering, you have that happening. The wave goes out, it's a vibration, and then the heat comes up through us. And that's the emotion. Okay? It's both emotions. This is emotion too. It's a vibration. Emotion is a movement.
Yes.
So it's it really does tie in what I want to say. And then also the light. He's the light of the world. He was the light in the first day. I'm going to take these off. I've got some new bifocals coming where I can actually see, so I'm going to have to take them off for right now. Apparently I can. But this may help you when you look at that second page, because there's two pages you may not have noticed for when I am discussing this. But I want to concentrate. There are five types of offerings, as you can see here on this page. But I'm going to concentrate mostly on the peace offering, because what has happened with me, this year, and I noticed, I was thinking it was April, but Stephen Jones put something out January 1st, and he put it out on the body, and God, the science of God is what he called it, the science of God, and he did three, and then he stopped. Now, normally, he's very legal and But then this, I saw it as kind of prefacing what was going to happen in our body, because there has been a witness in our group anyway, a witness in our group with what was going on with Connie, what was going on with me. I feel like that was a witness, something to show us, something to look at, take a look at. And in my case, I'm looking at it, and I'm trying to understand how it is this could happen to me. I mean, first of all, I had to get over the shock of it happening to me, but then what does this mean? Because I think everything that comes into your space, you need to look at.
Amen.
It is that important to look at it. Because if you keep going on the same way you've always been going on, nothing's going to change. There has to be an upheaval for true change.
Yes.
True change. Real, deep change. There has to be some kind of upheaval, and I think Speed found that out. We saw a real change in his mentalities. We all do. I mean, we all have to go through. You all can probably look back and think of, and I think Morgan, things that brought you to a change in your mentalities. And it was through the emotion of that change that brought you to a new thinking, a new understanding. So that brings healing, really, to our intellect. When we put it in its rightful place, in its correct order, the intellect cannot drive first, because we know that the body is emotional.
Yes.
So, I mean, it even goes against what is natural. The body is an emotional thing. So what I wanted to look at was our inner body and our outer body. How does that, I mean, we've been dealing. So first, your spirit is saved. Okay. That's a done thing. It's never to be visited again. Okay. It's a done thing. Then he starts dealing with our mind, our will, and our emotions and desires.
Yes.
And he's changing us in really in many different ways, from glory to glory, bringing us up to a higher understanding of them. But there is a body realm. And I think we've kind of neglected that. We've not really looked at how is the body a part of that. And that's the emotional part. To me, that's the emotional part. The body emotes him. It can be seen. He can be seen. How can he be seen otherwise?
Yes.
So, I want to start by reading Leviticus 7. Because this explains the offering. Yeah, verse 29. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, he that offereth the sacrifice of his peace offerings unto the Lord shall bring his oblation unto the Lord of the sacrifice of his peace offerings. His own hands shall bring the offering of the Lord made by fire. First, we have to go through the fire. The fat with the breast, it shall he bring, that the breast may be waved. So it's the breast, if you see in that handout I gave you, it's the breast. Well, hey, it lines up, doesn't it? I just thought of that. It lines up. And may it line up with the altar in us. The altar in us, our heart. Okay?
That also goes along with our hearing and teaching on El Shaddai. The deepest, strongest, most beautiful meaning of El Shaddai is breast.
That's what I was going to get into.
To do
yeah.
With the milk.
Yes.
Of the mother.
Yes. Exactly. Very good. Okay. So, and the priest shall burn the fat upon the altar, but the breast. Okay. The breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. The breast goes to the high priest, or the priest, which he is making us, I hope that you see this, he's making us a nation of kings and priests.
Yes.
Okay? We are the priests. We are supposed to be operating as priests.
Yes.
healers, lay hands on, heal, in all capacities. We need to be operating as a priest, forgiving sins. So there's lots of capacity, mercy. There's lots of capacities in which we act as a priest. And the right shoulder, now we're going to talk about the right shoulder also, as you see in the handout. The right shoulder shall you give unto the priest for a heave offering. Now the right shoulder is not really shoulder, it's thigh. It's not shoulder.
Yes.
Correct translation of that is thigh. And the thigh is our reproductive, here it is. What's here in our thigh? Reproductive part, our generative part, the fruitful part. That's what's offered up to him. Our fruitful part may be the good fruitful part in us. We have choice there. It can be or not. Huh?
Be mindful of that fan above you.
So the right shoulder shall you give unto the priest for heave offering of the sacrifices of your peace offering. And I'm not going to read the rest of that because I got some more to read. You can read the rest of that if you like. But every time every time we start studying out, we end up in Genesis. I do. And I always end up first couple chapters of Genesis. It's just, I think he keeps throwing on more and more light on this, for me anyway. It was just, in the study of this, it's just endless. It's like keys, I thought of this morning. It's like he gives you a key, or you all of a sudden discover a key in your hand, and you're unlocking. I mean, read this Bible. Read it over and over and over again, because you find that when you begin, it's like, here's a key here, and it takes you to another key over here, and then, hey, there's another key. You just picked up another key, and you're in it over here, and then it's taking you to another spot over here. And it's like seals. Seals are beginning to be opened.
Yes.
It's just...
I got a brand new pair of roller skates. You got a brand new key?
That's crazy.
Well, that's what I thought of.
All right. Now, if we can put this inside of us, this is everything I say. You know, the sacrifice and offerings are a dumb thing. He doesn't want, they're a stink to him, actually, these outward. What we do outwardly is a disease. It really is, because he doesn't accept it. He doesn't even see it. He doesn't even know you're doing it, really. He only sees that which you can produce from within you. That's that offering that comes from deep and spills out like that, the breath that he receives, your breath of life. Life responds to life. He doesn't respond to that death, dark place. He can be there. He can be in the darkness as he was in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And this is really heaven, because anytime you see heaven, it's heavens. So there's more than one heaven. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Face. I'm going to talk a little bit about face, but we had a song. I shall behold his face in righteousness. And as we all with old behold his face as in a glass. So face is going to be mentioned here a few times. So it's us face to face with him. No more separation. And the Spirit of God moved. Okay, now we've got no form. We've got basically, if there's no form and it's void, we've got chaos.
Yes.
And chaos, the Greek word for chaos is disorder, disharmony. So, we have darkness and we have God. we have light comfortable in the darkness. We really do. He's not a problem. And he begins moving. Original says brooding. It also means stirring or fluttering. Okay, so he begins moving on the waters. There's a vibration. Anytime you move over something, there's going to be a response below. You can't help but have a response. I don't care. If you move your hand over a rock, that rock has energy. Every piece of matter has some energy. So if you move your hand over there, you may not see it or feel it, but that is responding in some way to you. And there's proof of that in the waters, a book written about water and vibration and sound, how it affects water. Okay, so God said, let there be light, and there was light. So to me, this is where Christ shows up.
Yes.
This is God's soul penetrating the cosmos. This is where he puts it out there, all over. Because, in John it tells us that, he was the light. And he was the Word. And he was at the beginning of time. I mean, you can see that all over Scripture, that he was in. He was there at the beginning with him. And God said, And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. So he put Christ, not the body Christ, Christ, who is the soul, he divided him, he moved him over. Okay, he's not going to have a part with this darkness. Okay? So, I mean, that's my take on it in this study. But and you may have a different take, but if you did bear with me, maybe it'll be some more light revealed here. And God called the light day and the darkness he called night, evening and morning were the first day. So we see chaos. Out of chaos comes order. That's the first thing that he does, order. He establishes the order for creation. It's like this chaos and this darkness was over the earth like a blanket over deep, still waters. He begins stirring the waters. This is what he's doing with us. We have waters within us, and he's stirring these waters. They go out in all directions. So this is your first wave action. It's going out into the earth, but not just going out into the earth, coming up from, you know, there's waters, and he divides the waters too. So he's bringing that consciousness, that lower consciousness, up through the waters. So we have water in this. You can also see water with the wave and the heave action. Okay. In the book of John, actually, and I had talked about that, it talks about the Word, the Logos, and who is with God and who is the light of men. So light is the essence of the Messiah as he was created at the beginning of time. And in verse 9 on day 3, whoops. You look at verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. So, and then it talks about the seed. There's two kinds of seeds. Oh, by the way, this is the first time you said it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb-yielding seed. So we have this one seed, the herb-yielding seed. And we have the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And at the end of that, the evening and the morning were the third days. So, creation. Then we go to and they're bearing seed after their own kind, as you can see. So, and then if we go to, I'm going to skip around a little bit, otherwise it's going to be too much. On the sixth day, in verse 26. And God said, let us make man. Now we're getting to the where man is created. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. He him. Man. Okay? Male and female created he them. Then God said, bless them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion. And in that day also where he talks about the herb-bearing seed and the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat. So we have creation entirely finished. We have man. We don't have Eve here yet. She's not been named. Can you see that this is female and male within mankind? This is what this is. And we've got the fruit, and we've got the herb-bearing seed. We've got both those seeds. One that will bring forth fruit. Okay, he put them there on that day. And what he's really saying here is, you are my firstborn. You are my precious. You are my one in me. You are the very image of myself. And you reflect who I am. So in that blessing, he made him heir of all things. You can see he said, go ahead and be fruitful. Produce out of that fruit that I've already put in there. Go ahead and produce out of it and put it out into all the earth. Subdue all the earth with that fruit. So he was the brightness of our glory, of his glory, and he was the first fruit of all men. This, now we call Jesus the first of the first fruits, but I think we refer to mankind first as the first fruit of all men. And he came bearing seed, and he was full of the fruit of the stars of the heavens, and that are going to explode out of him, because Christ, the light, if he's exploding seed, and we as his image, we will also explode that seed out into the earth, the fruit. And everywhere he's going to put his feet, on the heavens and on earth, is going to be his.
Amen.
Okay. Now in chapter 3, and I'm not going to read it, but we get into the serpent.
Yeah.
The serpent shows up. And its duality, I'm sure you're all familiar with it. It's the shadow side of darkness. And we see the struggle for dominance now happening in the garden. And this is the part about her making the choice to eat of the forbidden fruit, of the learning, which the original says, the learning of good and evil. And then she gives to her husband.
Thank you.
There's a significance that we have. This is her husband that she gives it to, which we do that. And so this depicts the beginning of a wrestling in the womb of the female. As self-consciousness makes its way to the surface of her mentalities, it will blur her memory, and it's going to prevail over God consciousness at this point. And this is actually where the seed becomes compromised. There are so many instances in the Old Testament where you can point out that the seed is yet again with Sarah and Abraham, yet again being compromised. But this is the first time where it shows up. And so that the identity of man and light and darkness becomes confused and divided. This is necessary, so because sin is misidentification with that self.
Yes.
Okay. What we don't know who our true self is, and they have to be separated. Eve is going to be taken out of man. Okay. So there's going to be an understanding here where we have to take a look at what's going on within us. There has to be a dividing, a separating, so we can actually take a look at it and see what's going on and then there's going to be a coming together as we have understanding in that. But the redemption is going to come through the woman, it says in Genesis 3:16. Because if you want to turn to that, her labor is actually going to multiply. Now, this is not a curse. I don't see this as a curse. Her labor is going to multiply, and so will her conception. And she's going to bring forth children, but her desire will be towards her husband. And he will rule over her mentalities. So she's going to be the mother of all living who will produce life, Zoe life, not bios life, life of the heavens, not of the earth. Okay, so, but if you go to verse 22 in that same chapter of Genesis 3 and 16, he set boundaries.
Yes.
He said he's going to put cherubim there. He banished them from the garden, okay. Then he put cherubim there. Then he put a flaming sword. And the flaming sword speaks of, we know that the word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. We know that the word is sharper than any two-edged sword, even to dividing asunder soul and spirit, That verse right there is critical of understanding that division. The soul and spirit is being divided, so we can take a look at it and see what's going on. So we have the word in the fire, the flaming sword, and he's going to have to find his way back. But he's going to have to go through the law first, because the law is a schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. So that's going to be necessary. He's going to have to go down into his lower consciousness and serve that lower order first. And the law states that the elder must be given first. Okay, remember that Jacob served 7 years for Leah before he could have Rachel. So the first man, Adam, is going to be given for the last man, Christ. Okay, that's going to be the sacrifice. So the word is a living word. It's ever present, and it's a seed in the land as preparation for the Logos in the personhood of Christ. In John 1 and 15, if you want to turn to that. In the beginning, or in the first fruits, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, or came into being by Him, and without Him, apart from Him, was not anything made or came into being that was made in Him, was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. It means it didn't understand it. But actually, it means also that the darkness didn't overcome or overpower Him. When Jesus, the light, was put out there in the cosmos, it didn't overpower Him. Now, God did separate it out, light, darkness. But God could be in that darkness and is in that darkness. If you were in the depths of hell, as David once said, he knew He was with him. So no matter where you at in your darkness, He can be with you. Okay. So at least, you know, it didn't overcome or overpower Him in the heavens before the first man, Adam, was lowered to the earth. That's the first baptism. Adam lowered in us to the earth. So, but you do understand this is not a literal fire. God is a consuming fire. And He burns up the impure elements in us. So we have to go back through the fire. There has to be a fire. And in our offerings, when we talk about our offerings, you're going to see that the first thing that has to be done is the burn offering. Even in the peace offering, there's going to be a burn offering. Okay. So in Genesis 4, 1 and 7... we get to the first offering, the very first offering offered to God. And it wasn't a required offering. It was a willing offering. God didn't require this. You don't see anything prefacing this chapter showing that he required it. It says, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very upset about this, and his face fell. Okay? His countenance. Changed.
It's a picture of ego and spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the Lord said unto Cain, why are you angry? And why is your countenance, why is your face changed now? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, which God told him he didn't do well there, then sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So this was a warning to him. You know why this was not accepted? It's because it was not the blood offering. It has to be, we have to go through the blood, not literal blood. Okay, but this right here is a proof text. That his sacrifice was not acceptable. Our sacrifices are not always acceptable. For the life of the creature is in the blood. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. So the life is in our blood. This is what, not our physical blood, but our blood that of life. There's blood in our spirit.
Yes.
Also. Okay. And he does want to accept our offering, but oftentimes we're making an offering in which we're holding back parts of us. And I think that's what, in my healing, I began to look at, was I holding anything back? I think that was really pertinent. I was diagnosed with breast cancer. So, I'm pretty much done with everything now. So just moving on. But it stopped me. You know, it stopped me and said, okay, you need to take another look at your life. And it's not like I'm a bad person. I don't, okay, see myself as a bad person. But was I really offering up everything to him? Because I think in this year, we're going to be looking at the body. We have inner body and an outer body.
Yes.
And the body is just as important as everything else. First, the spirit is soul, faith. Then the soul is brought in, the mind, will, emotions, and desire, so that they are as one, a spousal relationship,
yes,
where they actually know each other. And then when that happens, it brings in the body. The body's redeemed. Okay, that process will actually change the DNA. Now, will it cause us to live forever? I don't know. Jesus, when he came back, they didn't recognize him and his body that he had. That body form was gone, whatever form he had. That was gone. It was a changed body. So we don't have understanding of that. That's okay. I'm not looking for that. But I am looking for an understanding of our body realm and how it applies.
Yes.
Because we spent years on the soul. Absolutely. And it's time, I think, that we understand the body this year. So, if the work is done inside where the blood is our life, then it's going to be reflected and changed from glory to glory in this outer body. So, the most acceptable offering is the free will offering. And why is that? Because it's freely given. It wasn't ordered by God. It's freely given. It's not under the law. It doesn't have any part of the law in it. There's nothing held back. I delight to do thy will, O Lord, and let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable. So there were plenty of offerings prescribed by law. Many offerings prescribed by law. The Old Testament is full of it. But the bondage of the law can only be broken by the willing offering. So we know about that schoolmaster law. We do have to go that way. Well, I don't know that we'll always, I don't know that his seed will always have to go that way. There may be a people, because they've, you know, the seed is going to move out there into all the earth. You've got some people that are walking it out. I know it's not going to be through one person either. It's going to be a many-membered body. And if they're all walking that out, it's going to be touching everybody else. And I don't even know if that will have to go through the law then, those that come in. Don once said, they're just going to get it. They're going to come in just like that. Where you've been walking it out for years, they're going to come, hear this message, and it's going to be instant. They're going to get it. They're ready.
The law is manifest in every constellation.
Is it?
Yes.
So I don't know in what form that's going to play out. You know, surely there'll be a change. Yeah. Okay. So we will have to have the law.
Like it has. But.
Yeah. The first time the offering shows up actually in the building of the tabernacle in Exodus 25. When Moses goes up to the mountain to meet with God, the first thing that he starts talking with Moses about is the building of the tabernacle, which is the pattern for Christ and for us. If you want to understand who Christ is, get into the tabernacle, because you'll find out real quick, I think, in all of the coverings, even the feasts, the furniture.
Yes.
He's in everything.
Amen.
He's in everything. Don't you know that you are the temple of the Lord? So we had to have a pattern. Christ was our pattern. And he laid it out in the building of the tabernacle. And before he even laid out those particular requirements, he told Moses to speak to all of Israel to bring an offering. So in Exodus 25. Then again, Abraham. I'm in Genesis. I don't know, that would be helpful. Would anybody like to read it?
Exodus 25.
25.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children that they bring me an offering.
That's a heap, excuse me, that's a heave offering. If you go back and you look at, you check that out, that's the heave offering. Remember, the heave offering is the one that comes up this way. It's vertical.
Passes through the emotion.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yes.
Must. Okay. That he bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his whole heart. You shall take me an offering. So it sounds like unless our heart is in it, we just might as well leave that offering outside the door, because it's not getting past God's notice.
Yes. And it gets into the different, what the offering would consist of. Going down to verse 9, it says, according to all that I show thee after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. But it gets into the gold, the silver, and the brass. Gold speaks of the nature of God. It's always that way. And silver is redemption and brass is judgment. And interestingly, brass is in the heave and the wave offerings. Brass is depicted in both of those. And then you have the coverings for the tabernacle, the different colors, the blue, the purple, the scarlet, which speaks of the blood. Fine linen, goat's hair. Goat's hair covered the outside of the tabernacle. It was a covering over the whole thing. There's much in the goats. The sacrifice, the two goats at a Feast of Atonement and Reconciliation, where one goat is killed and its blood is taken right on into the mercy seat and sprinkled over it. And then the offerer comes back out and he puts his hands, I don't know if they're bloody. Are they bloody? But he puts his hands on the other goat, and that goat is sent into the wilderness. So that depicts, and never to be seen again.
Scapegoat.
He's a scapegoat. So he, you have the one that's a sacrifice, the blood is spilled, but the other goat, it's transferred to this goat, meaning that all the sins of Israel then were, they were redeemed in that symbolic putting the hands on the goat, and he's sent off into the wilderness, never to be seen, just like Jesus went into the wilderness too, never to be seen. And by the way, Jesus was the peace offering, the final offering. Peace offering always comes last. So Jesus was that final offering for the world in his giving of his life. But as I said, this offering here is defined as being a heave offering, which speaks of lifting up. In fact, the people brought so much, they had to be restrained from giving. I mean, that's just beautiful how the tabernacle started that way. There just was no end to the giving. It was truly the wave going out into the end of the earth and heaving up everything. They gave it all. And in other verses, it talks, not in this particular chapter, but in other chapters, it talks about wise-hearted men and women who are filled with the Spirit of God and wisdom and understanding and in knowledge to do the work of the building of the tabernacle. That's very representative of what we need, of what we need to be, that wise-hearted, that feminine part, Sophia. She's wise. And she has a big part in how this tabernacle is erected. So that part in us, you know, that's a part in us, that Sophia wisdom is a part of it. And also the victims for the peace offering were unblemished oxen or cattle of either sex. Now, they did use other types of animals for all the other offerings, but in this, they use... Now, they might use they might use blemished animals. They could be used depending on the type of offering it was. There was a vow offering, there was a thanksgiving offering, and there was that peace offering. So, I mean, there's lots of criteria. But the process... We had read Leviticus 7. The process for this was that first the offerers led the offerer himself led the victim to the altar. He laid his hand upon his head and he slew it. The offerer did that. So that's that work that we first do in us. We slay that thing. Okay? Then the priest took the blood and he sprinkled it over the altar. Now the fat was burned on the altar, and then that's the portion for God, actually. That portion is God's, the fat. That's and then the breast and the right thigh were separated out, because then we're going to take the right thigh, we're going to heave it up, and we're going to take the breast, and we're going to wave it out. Okay?
Amen.
The peace offering is the offering that Jesus gave his life to redeem the whole cosmos. And the peace offering, as I said before, is the last in the order of observance. So then afterwards there was great joy, and they partook of meat and drink. I mean, you can just imagine the joy in this. Or, you know, you get to eat him, drink him when you have placed that offering. If it's freely given, you have given your all, mind, all your mentalities given to him, then you can come behind and you get to eat and you get to drink him. And the peace offering, as I mentioned on the handout, was the only offering in which the offerer received back a portion of the sacrifice to eat himself. So some of the offering went to the Lord, which was the fat and the two kidneys as a sweet savior. And the right thigh and the breast went to the officiating priest and his family. And the rest of the flesh went back to the offerer and the congregants. And it was all used up. If it didn't get used up, there's some parts that were not eaten within a prescribed period of time, then they were burned, but not upon the altar. So unless we eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, we have no life in us. And that's actually translated as Zoe life. And also the Lord required that the heave offering must not be counted by measure, by weight, by number, but must be set apart by estimate from a given quantity. You saw in your handout, that was a given quantity, but the wave offering was all of it, was the whole thing. And the heave offering is lifted up high in presentation to Jehovah alone. That's why it ended up being in a cross, because it symbolizes Jesus on the cross. And he was the fruit seed of the third day. And so first fruits in harvest time were also called heave offerings. So in the heave offering, the priest takes up the right thigh using an up and down motion, but he only goes up once, one time, up and down. It's not multiple times, it's one time. Lifting up to the Lord back in, that speaks of Jesus. One time death on the cross, never to be done again. Not only for men of his day, but for every man, all the way back to Adam, and all the future, all the way on down to the end. So the thigh speaks of the generative parts and the loins, the part that's capable of reproducing. It's a part from which the fruit of the seed comes forth. And there is significance in that it is the right thigh rather than the left thigh. Okay, so the left side of the brain, I thought of the brain in that, is linear, logical, language, literal, okay? And it is concerned with past and future.
Yes.
Whereas the right side is female in orientation. It's social, it's emotional,
yes.
It's nonverbal communication. See, we females often verbalize in nonverbal ways. And we expect our husbands, who are very verbal,
to understand,
to get it. And that's probably a big reason why we have so much trouble. But they're in the present. They're in the present. And there's no separate eye here, because there's a deep awareness with this right side of we and its connection to all things. She is Sophia Wisdom, this right side of the brain. And the staff is in the right hand, remember? And there's lots of other references in Scripture to the right side. Remember, Benjamin was set on the right side of Jacob as a blessing, and a support in Jacob's old age. So, the heave offering, this is a portion of all our gifts. Jesus' offering was a portion of the whole. Okay? He wasn't the entire offering. Who's the rest of it?
His body.
His body. Yes. He's the first of the first fruits and the one time, only one time offering. And it purposed Jehovah to bruise our Lord, and he made him an offering for sin. That's how I knew that back there in the first day, that light was Jesus. that he put his soul out there into all the whole cosmos. That's when it first happened. And the Septuagint says that if you give an offering for sin, your soul shall see a long-lived seed. So the heave offering speaks of God as ruler in heaven, and the wave offering speaks of God as ruler on earth, because the harvest actually goes out. I'm probably getting away. The harvest, it speaks of the harvest yet in the field, going out to all the ends of the earth, and it extends into infinity. After on the wave offering, after the victim was burned, the two breasts are placed on the hands of the offerer. Then the priest put his hands underneath the offer, what was offered. Okay. And he's going to move. The priest takes, if you can picture this, the priest has his hands, say, on the wrist here, whatever. And the offer is holding it up. The priest has got his hands on. We are priests. Okay, so we are part of that offering. And they move it horizontally back and forth.
Yes.
Multiple. In line with the offering. In line with the altar. Multiple times. Not as in the heave offering, which is only offered one. One time. So that, so the fact that the priest kept certain parts for himself and his family eat, such as the breast and the right thigh, speaks of all of Israel, which we are spiritual Jews, and we can see that in Galatians. It tells us that, who are being called out of Egypt to be a kingdom of priests and a royal nation. So the breast, as Connie pointed out, speak of El Shaddai, the breasted one. El is translated as God. Shad is breast. Okay. And AI is feminine. That has a feminine ending. So it's the feminine portion of God, the self-sufficient one who is fertile. She's the fruitful portion. She's bursting at the seams with life-giving milk. And she's the one on the right who's pouring herself out with blessings for all of creation, and the mother who loves unconditionally. And she will enter into a spousal relationship with God. This is spirit and soul married as one, pouring out the divine spirit into the world. And Israel will drink from the one who has been poured out. And then Israel will be satisfied, sustained, and fruitful.
We also see that here in Aquarius, pouring, the pouring forth of Dai in the El Shaddai means pouring forth a river. So it all fits so perfectly together. It shows that she is hid with Christ in God in this picture.
This is for John. Bye, Johnny. That John. What I'm going to be talking about next. Because we're going to... And Rolkes talks about the duality of the wave particle. I mean, I just couldn't, like... I'm talking about the wave, and it made me think of the wave particle. And I said, okay, how does this relate? So for those of you who have an interest in science, I thought it was really neat. All particles. Now, I think... All right, realize I know next to nothing. Nothing. Not even next to nothing. I know nothing about wave particles. So just in a quick... And I didn't spend very much time on it, but I was able to pull out some stuff that I thought was really interesting in relation to the wave. And what I got was... not all particles, apparently. I mean, there seemed to be just some dissension in there. Some particles, or maybe all particles, can exhibit both wave and particle qualities. So, Anyway, I saw some dissension in that. Some people were arguing about that online, whether they could exhibit them both. I guess that doesn't matter. But a wave is a disturbance or vibration that propagates through matter. For instance, parts of matter bump into each other and cause a cascading domino effect. And I wrote down something you said a couple months ago. And I'm quoting you now, John. What you said was, all matter has frequency and the wave is the beginning of an action. That really spoke to me. The wave is the beginning of the action going out to all the ends of the earth. It has to start somewhere. Okay, so we can see the resonance of the energy of the divine spirit moving through spirit, soul, and body to bring peace and harmony. In fact, science has discovered that every particle of matter and energy, correct me, you can correct me at the end of all this because I may have made a mistake. So that's why I kept it brief. Every particle of matter and energy that exists resonates on a particular frequency, and every single particle is connected to and responds to every other particle through these frequencies. That made sense to me. A particle is a small localized object which can be ascribed several physical properties such as volume or mass. I try to keep this simple. I needed to keep it simple for me, so I'm going to keep it simple for you. Maybe you can understand it better. For example, grains of sand on a beach can be considered particles because the size of one grain of sand is negligible compared to the whole beach. So not everything can be considered a particle from what I read. It depends on the scope of it, how big it is in relation, how small it is in relation to whatever else is being compared to. So, on that same token, a person offering his whole being to the God of the universe might be considered a particle on the wave continuum if he or she is among a multitude, a many-membered body of one mind in him, our whole being, in reverse of what it really is now, turned inside out, spirit, leading in marriage relationship with the soul, which brings redemption to our bodies. So we bring the whole of us to the offering, causing the particle to go up and down on the continuum. Because this is what I saw. Particle, wave. So the particle goes up and down on the continuum, right, like this, and the wave goes out horizontally. A wave is motion. And you cannot have motion without matter. We're the matter. This body is the matter. That's why our bodies are so important. And without interference, sometimes there's interference. The light might be hit up against something and have to turn. The wave could theoretically continue in a straight line to infinity as it travels through space and time accompanied by a transfer of energy. So all of this is to say that as we present our bodies as a living sacrifice and not to attach ourselves to our physical bodies and not even to our spirituality, but to yield voluntarily and freely, all of us. The free will offering just has no attachment. It's a letting go of everything. We are called to liberty. We truly are. That's what I'm understanding in this, what I'm going through. What attachments do I have? What am I attached to?
You.
You know, and I... both Barbaras, and I looked up the meaning of the name Barbara because I thought it was significant. Both Barbaras in the spring of this year had a prophecy. And Barbara actually means traveler, stranger from a foreign land. Okay, so we are strangers from a foreign land. We really are. So on and then these prophecies were quite near to each other, and they said what Barbara said was, and I wrote it down when she said it. I didn't get it wrong, because I wrote it down when she said, the body will come, the body will come in the true essence of its being without attachment. So we have coming up October 1st, happens to fall on October 1st this year, Feast of Tabernacles. Before that, we have Feast of Atonement, which is 7 days before that. That's reconciliation. And that's actually when the two goats are presented, okay? The Feast of Tabernacles is also the Feast of Ingathering. So it's when all the fruits are gathered together, all the harvests, all the fruits are brought in into the field. And all of Israel dwelled in booths at that time, which signified oneness between God and man, security, safety, and protection. It was the end of their labor. God has called us to rest. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. And it's a beginning of peace when we can let go of all of our attachments and just offer ourselves up. But the Feast of Atonement must come before the Feast of Tabernacles. It's the reconciliation. You know, the law can never, by its many sacrifices, yearly, daily, monthly, it can never make us perfect. Never. We must be reconciled to God first. And on July 10th of this year, I wrote it down because I woke up with these words and I didn't understand them. Actually, I didn't even think of it again. I mean, I've looked at them a few times, but I didn't even think of it again until about 2 days ago. And I went, what did that say? And what it said was, faces over time in a new eternity. Faces over time in a new eternity. I think we are going to, or I am anyway, understand more of what that really means, because faces speaks of our identity, our understanding. Remember, God moved over upon, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That means he moved upon our the understanding. He moves upon our understanding in the depth of those waters. And he broods over and he flutters over. And what does he do? What is that? That's a movement that causes a vibration. Yes. And that vibration will extend out into all the ends of the earth, north, south, west, and east, up and down, vertically, horizontally, in every direction. You know, when the children of Israel came to the Jordan River, you know, this is when they crossed over from, after spending 40 years in the wilderness, they came to the Jordan River, and the priests were told ahead of time, if you want to look that up in Joshua 3:16, he told them to stand still. That standing still created a movement.
Yes.
Okay. What was the movement? The movement was the waters that came down from above stood still. They heaved up. They heaved up. They stood still in that spot, and then the waters from above came down and at the salt sea and stopped there. This was during the harvest. The water, the river was flooded. It flooded every year during the harvest. We're talking about the first harvest. Passover, really. First harvest of the year. That river is flooded. It's flooding. It's flooding out onto the land. So they needed to have, they could not pass over like that. So He told them ahead of time, if you will stop and you priests who are carrying the ark on your shoulder, stand still. That was the commandment. You stand still. So he's telling us, stand still. You stand still, and I will do that work. I will move upon your waters, and I will divide them. He divided them so they could walk through. They will not roll back. Waters will not roll back until you stand still. You stop where you're at. And I thought it was really Joshua 3:16. Then is that verse that talks about how that those waters were separated. John 3:16, very same. God so loved the world that He gave. That was a loving God-like thing in that He allowed them to pass over through that to bring them into the promised land. That's where they were going. And then that was also the story about the stones. Remember the priests. We had one man from each tribe who was designated when they crossed over to pick up a stone and put it on their shoulder. And that was to be a memorial. So, anyway, I really enjoyed, the Middle East. I had to think about the Middle East and its uprisings going on right now as we go into Tabernacles. Isaac and Ishmael. Still feuding with each other, really is what's happening. So I appreciate you listening to me.
It is wonderful. Awesome.